for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, July the 2nd, 2016. Carla B. Todd is the speaker of this service, teaching on Order, Position, Authority. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Order, Position, and Authority. So if you're interested in that teaching to take home, and parents can watch it with their children, probably learn some stuff you never knew, probably bring you to a place of repentance for things that you did when you were their age because you didn't know any better. Nobody ever told you what to do the first time someone says, "Hey, come on, let's go behind the house and smoke a cigarette. I'm going to go on to my daddy's cigarette." Kids need to know. Here's a ticket to hell. I'm not saying cigarettes will send you to hell, but when you begin to do those forbidden things, you hide, they become secret, that the devil's got a hook in them. And that's not the end. It goes from one thing to another, to another, to another. It's a process. So if you're interested, there's some CDs back there for you, a DVD to get and take to your children, or maybe you know a family that you'd like to give it to. And if they run out, order it. Or if you just want to listen to it, you can go to LHBCOnline.com and find the teaching for and about children. They need to know these things. Our children live in a dangerous world. There was an advertisement somebody sent me. It's a Dove soap commercial. It was put out for Father's Day, and it shows two men with a newborn infant, and one man is bending over kissing the other man. It's just such a beautiful little family nucleus. Anyway, there was another picture. They had different commercials. One of them is of a woman having a cesarean section. The doctor is pulling the baby out, and the two men are right there. And it just went all through me because it was like demons just waiting to take that baby. But they're making it okay. This is normal. It's not. It's horrifying what's happening to our society. Okay, Ephesians 6 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." It's not mama's place to raise the kids. It's daddy's place to raise the kids with the mother's help. But discipline is so vitally necessary. To a child, discipline means love. If your children are not disciplined properly, actually when they misbehave, they're really putting a demand on the love in you to love them enough to make them stop it. And when they are not disciplined, they are out of order, they feel insecure, unsafe, nervous, hyperactive. That's why. Because they don't feel the love and the nurture. And that, the father in the home, as Jerry McGee tells us all the time, is a representative of God on the earth. That's who my daddy was to me. My daddy was available anytime. He would talk to me. He would answer my questions. And that's the same relationship I have with my Heavenly Father. When my daddy died, it took 2 years. He had cancer. And I didn't know how I was going to live without my daddy, because my daddy was my connection to God on the earth. My daddy knew God, and he was wise, and he would instruct me. And I could trust what he said, because he always told me the truth. It's important for children to have that kind of confidence in their daddies. When you don't do that, let me tell you what happens. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says in Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to say verse 5, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto sons, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." See, discipline is love. "And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? But if ye be without chastisement, of which all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." See, that bastard curse can come on a child that's not properly loved and nurtured and disciplined. They feel like nobody loves them. And if daddy don't love me, then God don't love me either. Nobody loves me. I don't even love myself. And then it's set up, that pattern. And if you want to hear more about that, you can go to LHBCOnline.com. And I've done a teaching called The Curse of the Bastard. I've taught it several times, but you need to look for the one that has a 12. It starts with 12, LHCD 7-3, The Bastard Curse. Everybody has elements of it. It'll bless you, and you can get delivered from some things. The one that happens right here when you don't discipline a child is it's called an unloving spirit comes into that child. And they become adults that cannot receive the love they need from God, nor give the love they want to anybody else. It's an unloving spirit. It causes you to be hard-hearted and a whole lot of other stuff. So you might want to listen to that. About provoking your children to anger, in Leviticus 20, verse 9, it says, "For everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Has anybody ever cursed their mother and father? I said, oh, thank goodness I've never cursed my mother or father. Well, you need to read the definition of the word curse. It means be disrespectful to. It means to talk with contempt. Anytime you've been disrespectful to your parents, you have cursed your mother or your father. And there's a death sentence that comes with that. In the Old Testament, it was literal. When I talked to the children, I said, aren't you glad we don't live in the Old Testament day? Because there are scriptures that say if you have a rebellious and lazy son that won't do what mom and daddy say, you take him out to the gates of the city and you stone them with stones until they die. And that is the reason for that is to put evil away from you. That's how much God hates disobedience. I wonder just how many young people were stoned to death back then. It would only take one for me. If I saw somebody being stoned to death, next time Mama said, go clean the kitchen, I wouldn't gripe. I would go clean the kitchen. But see, what if we are suffering things because we cursed our mother or father? And we don't connect the dots. Later we get cancer, or later we get diabetes, or later, you know, some incurable disease, or every job we have we get fired from and never can get a promotion, and finances are dry all the time, and you can't get anywhere spiritually. That's the death sentence. That's death working. Death, 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 death. And we don't connect the dots. And there's other things. That whole chapter 20 of Leviticus is full of things that will bring a death sentence upon you. Homosexuality, bestiality, adultery, witchcraft, abortion, incest, and that's also on LHBCOnline.com if you want to go hear it. It's full of stuff you need to hear and repent of and have that death sentence broken off of you. Because it's a law. It's a spiritual law. And if you've done it, the death sentence is there. Repent and have it broken off of you. It's a serious thing. Okay, then there was something called, well, a lot of complaints that women have against their husbands is, my husband just will not listen to me. He just will not listen to me. In Genesis, when the curse was put on the woman, this is what it says. Or actually, it was when he put it on the man. In verse, it's Genesis 3:17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. But the first thing he said was, because you have hearkened unto the voice of your wife, and right that minute came into Adam, I'm never listening to another word she says. And it was born into every man that came after Adam. And Eve, the woman, well, we're mad at the man because, good grief, he ate it too. And then when God came looking for me, he said, it's that woman you gave me. She made me do it. Blame the woman. And it came into every woman right then. Anger at the man for blaming her. And he blamed God too. He could have said, it was that woman you gave me. Or maybe he said, it was that woman you gave me. God, you're the one that gave her to me. You know, that's what we do when we get in trouble. We think it's God's fault. God, why did you let this happen? Hey, examine. If there's anything wrong, I'm pretty sure it's Mom of God. Pretty sure. Look at yourself. Examine yourself. So there is something that I call that is in the way of husbands and wives, and I call it Adam anger, Eve anger. Actually, God gave me that title. I didn't know what he was talking about. I said, you're going to have to show me that one because I don't know what you're talking about. And he showed me. Adam anger, Eve anger. So why don't we just break that off of you right now, ladies and men? Ladies, say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive my husband, if I have one. I forgive my husband and every other man for Adam blaming me. Yeah. And if you have a husband, go home and say, honey, would you forgive me for holding you responsible for Adam blaming Eve? Because that's a real thing. I rank it off of married couples all the time up here. Makes a big difference. You don't even know it's there. So men, Father, forgive me for blaming Eve for something I wanted to do too. And forgive me for blaming you. In Jesus' name. Amen. And if you've got a wife, you need to say, honey, would you forgive me for blaming, being angry at you and blaming you for something I did my own self, made my own choice? Forgive me for being angry. Forgive me for blaming you and holding you responsible. Amen. I did that one time here. There was a couple sitting right over there, and I saw her go. I said, well, maybe think about it for a while. You can do it at home. She didn't like it. Okay, he probably didn't either, but he didn't make a face. Okay, so let's see what else we got here. And I want you to know that men and women are different. God did that. You know what I learned? You know, God is all everything. He made Adam like himself. Adam was just like God. Then he took Eve out of Adam. So he removed almost all the estrogen and put it in the woman. That's a little bit of estrogen, because you men got estrogen. And the woman, then the man, was all testosterone with a little bit of estrogen. And the woman is all estrogen with a little bit of testosterone. See? He made them different. She is soft. She is emotional. Men are not. Some are. But for the most part, they're not. The woman carries the emotion. The man is the muscular one. The man doesn't care if the window has curtains, the bedspread has a coverlet. He don't care. He doesn't care if he uses a dirty towel. You know? Doesn't matter to them. It matters to us. That's why it's not good for a man to be alone. So she can clean his house and his underwear and his socks. Do you know that used to be a pet peeve? Mike would come in after mowing the grass or whatever. He's going to wear those socks again. He's going to shake the grass out of them and lay them over the side of my tub. I would see those socks and just... Until one day there was a lady here whose husband died, and she was so broken. And I'll tell you, my heart went out to her, and when I got home and saw those socks, I was so happy to see those socks. Really? Stop and think about it. We're so silly over all this stuff. But embrace that and celebrate the difference. He made us different. Your man is not going to do the laundry if he sees his back up. And don't be mad at him when he doesn't. Those domestic things, well, that used to be a clear-cut thing, too. The women and the men. Now it's, hey, they're all expected to do the same thing. They're almost everybody's unisex. I won't say any more about that. But anyway, order, position, and authority. God has an order. Even in the church, He has an order. Where did I put a star by that? Because, you know, if we would just do things in the order that God has given us, this would be a different world. What does He say about... Aren't y'all glad I'm not giving this whole message? I've got enough for a book here. Okay. He says, there's an order for dealing with those who trespass against you. Matthew 18:50. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault. Don't go tell everybody else. Don't shun him. Don't run from him. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he'll hear you, thou hast gained a brother. But if he will not hear you, then take one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. It can't just be a, well, he said, she said. Nope, you've got witnesses. Nope, they heard what I said. And before you go, make sure you bind the lion spirit. You know what the lion spirit does? It catches your words and repeats them to the person differently. Yeah. And then you don't hear what they said, but the lion spirit, you hear what they say. Then that's when offense rises up and all manner of evil gets twisted in that. But if there's two there with you, they both hear. That's why In court, they'll call 15 witnesses, and they all have a different story. That's why you need to bind. If you go to talk to somebody about a conflict, bind that lying spirit before you ever go, and loose the spirit of truth, that that lying spirit cannot operate. Then it says, and if he shall neglect to hear them, then go tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. That's an order. If we would do things in that order, there might not be so many broken families, divided churches. Matthew 5:23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. See, there's an order there. Luke 17:3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, repent, thou shalt forgive him. There's an order in the church for if you get sick. James 5 tells you that if any among you is sick, go to the elders of the church, be anointed with oil, pray the prayer of faith, that you might be healed, and confess your faults one to another, that you might be healed. See, there's an order. What do we do usually? We go to church on Sunday, and if we have an ailment, we don't go to the elders. We go to the doctor. Call the doctor and go to the doctor. My brother the other day was talking about some ailment that he had. I said, well, have you been to your pastor to ask him to anoint you with oil and pray for you? Well, no. I said, why not? That's what the Bible says, dude. How do you call yourself a church and not do what the Bible says? Look it up in the Bible. There's an order for things. A friend of my son brought him home. I hadn't seen him in a while, but I hadn't seen the kid, the friend, in a long, long time. And he came to the house to greet me and hug me. And I said, well, how have you been doing? I said, Are you married? He said, well, I got a fiance. I said, well, when are y'all getting married? I said, hey, you're going to have to call her something else then. Because a fiance is someone who has a ring on their finger and a date to walk down the aisle. See, society has changed the definition of a fiance. That means the person I'm living with right now. No, that is not a fiancé. Order. Court. Get married. Have children. Today they have a one-night stand. Have a baby. Have a wedding. Maybe. And you know, divorce is rising all the time, and there's not even as many people getting married. So the percentage has, you know, way blown out. Order. God has an order. If you want your life to go well, you follow God's order. See, y'all feel like clapping now? That's a hard word to give, but listen. We got to start somewhere. Let us start with us. Okay, so now I want to just, I want to deal with some spirits. Okay. Well, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I just cover every person here with the blood of Jesus. Lord, I pray that as they've heard the word, that it caused godly sorrow that leads to repentance. And I pray that they've been repenting as they've been listening. So let's pray a prayer of repentance first. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me where I have failed. Not acknowledging your order, and not doing things the way you had it set up to do. I am a Christian. I am a believer in your Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm asking you to begin to teach me, even for me to become hungry to know more of your order and to seek it out and to obey it, that I can have the life that you intended me to have, that abundant life. So I ask you to forgive me in Jesus' name. Now he's forgiven you. Okay, so right now in the name of Jesus, I bind the spirits of deception. All lying spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits that have been misleading, beguiling, being beguiled by Satan to do things your own way instead of God's way. I come against delusion of thinking of yourself not in the correct way, but delusional thoughts. I come against trickery, all trickery, being tripped up by the devil to commit sin and not worry about it. I come against all fraud, spirit of fraud and error, all spirits of fraud and error, disrespect. I bind disrespect and command it to leave God's people now. Get out. Get out in Jesus' name. Rebellion. Get out. I break your power. Rebellion against God's word. Rebellion against your husband. Rebellion against your wife. Rebellion as parents to do the parental duties in Jesus' name. I come against all seducing spirits, things that seduce you away from the correct order that God has set up. Seducing spirits, I bind you and break your power and command you to get out. All spirits of offense, being offended at your husband, being offended at your wife, and being offended at God in the name of Jesus. All spirits of offense, go in the name of Jesus. All lying spirits, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. Lying to yourself and believe in the lie, I break that off of you in Jesus' name. I come against all spirits of corruption. Corruption, corrupting the order of God, corrupting his ways in Jesus' name. All doubt and unbelief. Doubt and unbelief. You know, when the serpent came to Eve, he caused her to doubt God's word. And I bind that spirit of doubt and unbelief in you that caused you to doubt God's word. That the way he says it is not really what it says. No, it really is what it says. Now, I command doubt and unbelief. I command the evil heart of unbelief to be broken right now, the stony heart. Father, I pray that you would turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm asking you to heal marriages today. Heal marriages. Heal families. Heal relationships between children and their parents. And their grown parents with their parents in Jesus' name. I come against all disobedience to God's word, rebellion against your gender, rebellion against your position. I bind it and break its power and command it to go in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life. That's what Satan tempted Eve with. God said, don't eat it, and he presented it, and she saw it, and she saw that it was good to eat. It appealed to her flesh, and the pride of life of taking it and being her own God at that point. I come against all idolatry right now, loving yourself more than you love God, loving yourself more than you loved your wife. Women, loving yourself more than you loved your husband, loving your children more than you loved your husband. I come against all of those marriage-breaking spirits, family-dividing spirits, church-destruction spirits in Jesus' name. I bind that spirit of Jezebel in the name of Jesus. I break your power wanting to be the head. I cut the head off of that serpent right now. I sever the head of that serpent.
I command you to come out of God's people, whether you're in a man or a woman. I bind that spirit of Jezebel now, that tyrant, that nagging, railing, complaining. Go in Jesus' name. Badgering, the badgering spirit, the argumentative spirit, go in the name of Jesus. Get out in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the spirit of Ahab, the Ahab spirit, that complacent spirit, that ho-hum, just rolling with the punches in the name of Jesus. I bind that Ahab spirit that causes men not to stand in their God-given place. In the name of Jesus, I break that spirit now. Ahab, get out. Get out of God's men. Get out of God's women. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That never shunning your responsibilities, letting somebody else do it for you. I bind that spirit and command it to go in Jesus' name. I come against all fear spirits. Fear. Fear of becoming that wife that reverences her husband. The fear of that in Jesus' name. The fear of loving your wife as yourself. The fear of having to give something up in order to do that. I bind that spirit of fear right now in Jesus' name. I bind the spirit of fear to be the man God called you to be. I bind that spirit of fear in Jesus' name. That cowardice spirit in the name of Jesus. In the man or in the woman. I bind it and break its power in Jesus' name. I come against all anger. Anger. Anger because of disappointment. Anger at God. Anger at your husband. Anger at your wife. Anger at yourself. Regret. All spirits of regret. I just wish I'd never married him. I just wish I'd never married her. Go in the name of Jesus. Get out. In the name of Jesus, all the anger and rage, go in Jesus' name. Holding grudges, the silent treatment, withholding your husband or your wife from sex. I break that in Jesus' name right now. Get out in Jesus' name. All spirits of betrayal, feeling betrayed by your husband or feeling betrayed by your wife, go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of betrayal, hurt, deep hurt, brokenheartedness in the name of Jesus. I speak healing right now to the broken hearts of men and women who have unhappy marriages and they feel stuck. I just break all those spirits. And Lord, I loose the spirit of reconciliation upon your people to reconcile. Lord, help them to remember what it was that attracted them to each other. And if it was ungodly, clean it up, Lord. You can make it right. You healed my marriage. You can make the marriage right in Jesus' name. All finger pointing and blaming. Well, it was your fault. No, it was your fault. That goes on and on and on and on and on. All finger pointing and blame go in the name of Jesus Christ. All self-justification. Well, the only reason I did that is because you did that. All spirits of self-justification, get out in Jesus' name. I break your power in the name of Jesus. All blame shifting. Maybe it really was your fault, but you want to shift the blame. I bind that spirit of blame shifting in Jesus' name and break its power and command it to get out of God's people. All spirits of disrespect, being disrespectful to your husband, disrespectful to your wife, being disrespectful to your children. I can't tell you how many times I had to apologize to my children when I was that awful Jezebel spirit. I can remember running from one of my aunts. Man, when she reached that certain point, I was under the bed hoping she wouldn't find any of us. And my children have done the same thing. I don't say that proudly. It breaks my heart. But you know what? When God changed me, I apologize to my children. I ask them to forgive me for that. And I ask God to heal their memories. They were little bitty. And do you know, I said to one of my sons, my oldest son, because he had the same spirit that I had. And he was beating up on his brother one day. I just heard this awful sound and I ran upstairs. I could hear Kyle yelling for help. But my son had his brother down with his forearm on his throat, and he was screaming for help. And I said, you go get in the car now. And he went and got in the car, and I told the other two, you stay right there. and I went around the block. I said, let me tell you something. I lived with a brother that was hateful to me, and you're not going to do it to your brother and sister. I will find another place for you to live if you don't stop that now. Well, he did, because he didn't want to leave. I don't know who would have taken him. But you know what? That's how strongly I felt about it. I will find another place for you to live. You're not going to do to them what my brother did to me. You're not. And as far as I know, they did. Of course, you know, people say, well, I'm glad my child never did that. And I always say, that you know of. Because unless you're with them 24 hours a day, you don't know what your kids are doing. Be careful how you defend your kids, because you'll be wearing egg on your face. Okay. So I come against being disrespectful to your children. Don't be afraid to ask them to forgive mommy or ask them to forgive daddy. I was wrong to do that. I'm sorry I talked to you the way I did. So, Father, I just loose the spirit of gentleness and love and repentance even towards your children in Jesus' name. I come against all spirits of guilt and shame for the times you have failed as a parent, lashed out in anger, perhaps hit them, hurt them, whatever. I just bind those spirits of guilt. Forgive, ask them to forgive you, and then forgive yourself. I lose self-forgiveness upon people right now that they can forgive themselves for the ways they failed. You can't go back and do it over again. We don't get do-overs in this life. And I wouldn't want to do it over. So I bind all those guilt spirits and self-condemnation and self-hatred in Jesus' name. All those regret, spirits of regret. All rebellion against authority. I bind rebellion against authority. If you have cursed your mother and father, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for every time I was disrespectful to my mother or my father, or I was disobedient for the times that I rebelled against them and did my own thing. I ask you to forgive me for idolatry, for doing my own thing, in Jesus' name. All false responsibility. Can I tell you, you're not the Savior?
That's right.
Take a load off. Can't save everybody. You can lead them to Jesus, but you can't do it for them. And if your children are over the age of 20, let go of them. I take the sword of the Spirit and cut the umbilical cord off of every mother and every father right now that is causing arrested development in their kids by not letting them go and be adults. Psalm 27:10 says, when my mother and father forsake me, and that word forsake means let go of. When my mother and father let go of me, then the Lord will take me up. Then. If you're trying to cover your grown kid, you're becoming their God. It's idolatry. And the hits that they're supposed to be taking hit you. Financially, physically, in every emotionally. Oh my goodness. I bind that spirit of false responsibility and trying to be God. Idolatry. I bind the spirit of insubordination and break its power and command it to go. Submit to the Lord your God and be well. Submit to the Lord your God and be happy. Lord, forgive me for not standing in my rightful place. Lord, forgive me for not operating in the position and the authority of the position that you put me in. Today, Lord, I take my place in the home, in the world, in the church. I call for the mighty godly men to rise up and take their places. I call for women to get in their places in Jesus' name, alongside their husband, not under them. Alongside, he took the rib, not the toe, not the heel, the rib. I say, you know why man is always after woman? He wants his rib back. Ha ha ha. she's got his ribs. And I found the spirit of the critical spirit, that critical eye that finds fault in your husband or in your wife. The word says to edify one another. You know what? It's okay to say, I love the way you keep house. Mike tells me all the time, honey, thank you for cooking that meal. That was so good. But if I don't feel like cooking, he doesn't mind picking up food. See, it's a give and take. He's good to me. He's not. He used to not be thoughtful. I wouldn't get a birthday card, an anniversary card. One day I went down. I waited till he got to work because I was going to give him till he left to give me a card. And he has breakfast at this little place, and I marched in there and sat down with him. Poor thing. He was ambushed. I said, let me tell you something. I better not ever have another birthday or an anniversary that you don't at least remember me with a card. You know, I never did get that card. But you know what God said to me? I mean, I was wearing myself out with that kind of nonsense. Thank you, Jesus, for growing me up. But you know what God said to me? He said, Carla, Mike is good to you every day. What is a card? And I said, Lord, that is so true. He is good to me every day. Every day. I don't have one complaint, not even his socks. But really, if you found out today that they only had 24 hours to live, how would you treat them? Different. So all those critical spirits, the critical eye, I command you to come out in Jesus' name. And last but not least, I come against controlling spirits. That spirit that wants to control and tell you when to move and when not to move and all of that. That tyrannical spirit, that Jezebel spirit, that controlling spirit, that oppressive spirit. I come against oppression, depression, suicidal thoughts. I bind them and break them in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just loose upon your people the mantle of the position that you call them to be, the mantle of the man. I ask you to drop it down on every man here and the mantle of the woman. I ask you to drop it down on every woman here. Lord, heal. You know, we're crying out, heal our land. We need to heal our little bitty plot. And if that is healed, the land will be healed. I ask you to, Lord, I just lose. A fresh anointing of your love poured out, Lord. A fresh anointing of your love. A fresh anointing of your grace. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father. Amen and amen. And Lord, we ask you once again to bless the food. It's ready to eat. Time to eat. One time somebody says, well, what do y'all do at Lake Hamilton? I said, well, we meet and then we eat. And then we meet and then we eat. And then we meet and meet. And eat, and meet, and sleep. And a whole lot of praying in between. So, Lord, bless the people that prepared the food, and bless those that eat it. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBC.com/online.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.